Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. F up the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up coin tail pro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed. Huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fuck me promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, up coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, cause that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack upped up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prisons. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
For all that I know, number one, that I do not have monopoly of wisdom, and what I do is to share my thoughts with you and to make suggestions which may not necessarily be true, but they constitute my opinion on the subject at hand. And that is exactly what I intend to do on a subject on which I do not claim expertise. What I have done is to prepare a paper which will be circulated, and I've prepared it in two forms, in the PowerPoint form and in the Word form. I will speak to the paper without reading the paper, and in that way, I believe we'll interact a lot more. And my paper is entitled, The Vision of the Founding Fathers, Looking to the Past to Inform the Future. And I will be alive to the fact that the element of religion is at the heart of the theme that is being interrogated this afternoon. When I was thinking about the paper, the first question that I asked, who are the founding fathers, or who are the founding fathers, that the framers and organizers of this conference had in mind? And I was convinced that they must have had in mind some of the key figures that were present in the 1940s and 1950s and 1990s up to 1980s, and indeed up to the 1990s, who participated in the liberation of Africa. But yet, even as I thought so, I was conscious of the fact that when one examines history, particularly the history of the black people, there are a number of individuals who are founding fathers but are rarely mentioned when we talk about Africa. One of the individuals who came to my mind is a great South African about whom we say very little, Pixley Kaisaka Seme. The South Africans in this assembly will be aware of that great South African who was one of the founders of the African National Congress. And if they care to examine some of his early works, they will also be familiar with one of the greatest speeches ever delivered by an African, delivered at the University of Columbia in the month of April 1906, titled The Regeneration of Africa. Those who have had the privilege and honor of examining that piece of writing acknowledge that Pixley Kaisaka Seme was very conscious of the status of Africa as it was in those days. You will remember that by 1906, Africa had suffered the fate of partition in Berlin, and that it had been partitioned, as we know, amongst the European powers. Prominently, the Germans had their share in West Africa. They had their presence here in Rwanda and Burundi. They were present in what was then Tanganyika. The French were present. The Portuguese were present. The English were present. The Belgians were present. The Spaniards were present. The Arabs were present, although they were not part of the club that partitioned Africa in 1884. And therefore, when he was talking about the whole idea of the regeneration of Africa, the choice of his words, because he was speaking in a foreign tongue, which I am speaking in this afternoon, he was very clear about the word that he chose. He talked about the regeneration of Africa. And when one talks about regeneration, it means that there was an Africa which had a certain level of development, and that had suffered at the hand of the foreigners, and therefore it needed to be regenerated. Those of you who are familiar with the thoughts and works of Senegal's Anti-Check Diop will know that Anti-Check Diop does recognize that there was indeed an Africa which had certain levels of civilization. In fact, the more romantic historians suggest that when Europe and Europeans were still living in the caves in the western part of Africa, there were organized kingdoms, and that there were libraries which rival the largest libraries in Africa today. Indeed, those of you who are students of religion like Professor here will know that people like Augustine of Hippo or Athanasius, some of the early thinkers in religion, were resident in what may today be called the Maghreb. In other words, therefore, when Pixley Kaisaka Seme was speaking in 1906 and he was talking about the regeneration of Africa, he was telling us that Africa needs to rediscover herself, and that Africa needs to move a notch higher in order to find her pride of place amongst the Committee of Nations. It is instructive, therefore, that the works and the ideas of Pixley Kaisa Kaseme were to be picked and developed a little later in time by other great African thinkers, yet one who is seldom mentioned, James Emmons Kwejira Agri of Ghana, normally referred to as Agri of Africa. Many of you, particularly the Ghanaians who are here, will remember that James Emmons Kwejira Agri was the first Ghanaian to earn a PhD and one of the early African leaders of the famous Achimota College in Accra, Ghana. And James Emmons Kwejira Agri was indeed very clear in his mind. The story is told of James Emmons Kwejira Agri, which I'll relate to you now that I have more time than was allotted to me. And the story is one that has been told by different people in different ways, but even if I retell it in the manner which offends the original story, my point will still be made. The point is this. He said, and he remembers as a teacher, that at one time there was a poultry farmer. And he says that this poultry farmer could only keep one thing, because when you are a poultry farmer, you only keep chicken. But he remembers that at one time, some of his chickens that he was keeping strayed into the bush. And when they came back home, there was within their ranks another chick which did not look like them. It was the chick of an eagle. And one day, after a passage of time, a naturalist came to the farmer and saw the eagle in all its splendor. And he said, "This is not a chicken, this is an eagle." But the farmer said, "I know. It was once an eagle, but it has been fed on chicken feed for too long. It has long lost its chickenhood. It has long lost its eaglehood. It has now acquired chickenhood." And the poultry farmer and the naturalist said, "No, once an eagle, always an eagle, no matter how long you are fed on chicken feed." And the naturalist said, the farmer said, "I want you to demonstrate." And in the evening, he put the chick on his palm and urged it to fly, but it refused to fly. And the story is told, the farmer said, "I told you, it was once an eagle, it was fed on chicken feed, it has lost its eaglehood, it is now a chicken." But then the following day, the naturalist came early in the morning, and as the sun was rising, he put the chick on the palm of his hand and urged it on, and it flew and never came back again. And he said, "I told you, once an eagle, even if you feed it on chicken feed, it will remain an eagle." And he said so animatedly, it is reported, that is who an African is. He could have been fed on chicken feed, but it has never lost its eaglehood. James Emmons Kwejira Agri was underlining the fact that no matter how devastated you are, you will always have that inner self. And I think the person who captured it in order to lay the basis of this as an artist is a man that we call Wole Soyinka. Now, many of you who are Nigerians here will remember Wole Soyinka's famous writing, "The man died, the man died, the man died, the man in you must never die, and the man includes the woman." And I'm laying this basis for us to understand that when we talk about forefathers, we must never forget individuals such as Pixley Kaisa Kaseme. We must never forget people like James Emmons Kwejira Agri. We must not forget people like Cheikh Ante Diop. And if we want to go into the diaspora, we must never forget individuals such as Marcus Garvey of Jamaica. And we must never forget individuals such as W.E.B. Du Bois. And one of the things that they underscored in those early days, before I come to the forefathers that we are much more familiar with, is that Pixley Kaisa Kaseme, in his writing and his speech, which I've already talked about, he said, in order for Africa to realize our potential amongst the Committee of Nations, there is only one thing that must define African relationship with other civilizations. He called it multidimensional osmosis. And what he called multidimensional osmosis becomes much more relevant, particularly today, when we are trading with China, when the osmosis is not multidimensional, and the osmotic is only in one direction, is monodirectional. And what he meant at that time is that Africans must engage with other civilizations, but that engagement must be of such a nature that it is mutually beneficial and the relationship is symbiotic. And I think that that is what we want to underscore today, even as we talk about religion and the place of religion in giving pride of place to self-governance and religious freedom as an important pillar in one of the seven pillars of Africa Agenda 2063. But yet I cannot at this stage yet go into Africa Agenda 2063 before I examine what was the vision of our founding fathers and who were they. In my own examination, and I stand to be corrected on this, whenever we talk about the founding fathers of Africa, we are normally directed to remember the 32 leaders who gathered in the month of May 1963 in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And I encourage us to look at the views of these individuals, but even before we go to that particular period, to look at some of the early thoughts and some of the things that animated these individuals to the extent that we now call them the founding fathers, and what it is that they had in mind that defined them as the founding fathers. And I take us back to 1957 in Accra, Ghana, on the day that the country then known as Gold Coast regained her political independence. And see how deliberate I am. I'm saying the country regained her political independence, did not acquire her independence. She regained an independence that she had lost by dint of force and by dint of both strategy and stratagem. In 1957, on the day of the regaining of the independence by Ghana, Kwame Nkrumah was as passionate as he was eloquent. He said that the independence of Ghana meant nothing unless all the other African countries were independent. And what did independence mean? Because at that time, and you will give me a little latitude in order to give some flavor to my presentation. If you look at the individuals who are present at that time in terms of the commonality and the unanimity of their vision, one had to look at Africa and understand what it is that they were talking about. In West Africa, if you listened at that time to Kwame Nkrumah, his clarity of vision is that independence and liberty meant a number of things. One, the liberty of the individual as individual to exercise their thoughts and to be free to participate in the affairs, including religion, as I understand it, and that therefore Kwame was conscious that the country that he had participated in liberating, which was Christian Gold Coast, but he rechristened and the people rechristened Ghana, was a multi-ethnic country and a multi-religious country and a country that was rich in her diversity. And the same was true of every other country. So that if you listened at that time, in next door to in Nigeria, which was, as you know, until independence divided into three regions, the northern region, the eastern region, and the western region, you could see that even at that time in Nigeria, while the colonialist was conscious of the religious differences, the leaders of the day, even if grudgingly so, were conscious of the fact that now that they had found themselves in this geographical space, they had to tolerate each other. So that when you are listening to the Muslims in the north, when you are listening to Abubakar Tafawa Balewa in Nigeria, or the Saudana of Sokoto, Sah Ahmad Bello, and listening to Nnamdi Azikiwe, who is a Christian, they are conscious of their diversity. They are grudgingly in Nigeria, but they accept the fact that they must live together. religion and religious differences was not given the pronouncement and the accent that we now see in the manner that I shall demonstrate when I am concluding my presentation. So that even if you left countries that had that kind of diversity and you went to Algeria and you listened to the more casual thoughts of Algeria's Ahmed Ben Bella, you could see that he was conscious of the fact that even though we were finding ourselves in potential religious conflict, we had a common vision for Africa. And in that regard, you would listen in Liberia, or rather in Algeria, to Ahmed Ben Bella. You would go down to Guinea to Ahmed Sekou Touré. You would go to Egypt to Gamal Abdel Nasser, leading an Egypt that was fundamentally Muslim, but conscious of the fact that there was an Africanness. But there were also other individuals who at that time did not believe that God existed. They were persuaded that there was something called materialism, that they were persuaded by a different ideology. But even in that appreciation, they were conscious of one fact, that there was a continent called Africa, and that that Africa was a continent that needed to move in one direction. And you will discover such individuals when you come to Kenya, when you come to Tanzania. We talk about people who are Christians, committed Christians, such as Julius Kambarage Nyerere, and you went down to the people who did not quite believe in Southern Africa, like Agostinho Neto or Samora Moses Machel at that time. But what is critical for our presentation is that in May 1963, 32 leaders congregate in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, at the invitation of Emperor Haile Selassie. And I invite you, ladies and gentlemen, to take time this evening or hereafter to read the speeches that were delivered by each one of them, and I've read each one of them several times. Even the ones who later disappointed us, the Spirit was on them. The Spirit was on them. And I will only isolate a few of them in order for us to appreciate how far they could see. As I stand here, I remember the speech of David Dacko of Central African Republic. He said that Africa must unite and move in one direction, for how would a little country such as Central African Republic survive in the face of the sustained machinations of the erstwhile colonial power? We know that David Dacko did not live up to the dreams that we thought he would. I listened to speeches such as those of Julius Kambarage Nyerere of Tanzania. He said, we did not come here to talk about unity or to remind ourselves how unity is important. We have come here to affirm the fact that without unity, Africa is never going to realize our potential. And one can go on to the speeches of Modibo and others, and Haile Selassie and others, but it's not important to rehash those speeches because they can be located in libraries. But it's important to isolate one speech, the speech of Osagyefo Kwame Nkrumah, because that, for those of you who are French speakers, that was the pièce de résistance. It was the speech that, in my view, captured the essence of what was meant to be Africa. And the three things that stand out in the speech and therefore form the three-legged stool upon which my presentation will now be founded. He said that Africa must unite, and unite immediately, before the leaders who are present in that forum become used to the trappings of power. You and me know that they have now become victims of the trappings. He said that we must unite and come out of that arrangement with one army, with one currency, with one united country, because the former colonial powers had yet devised another method of controlling Africa. And he said that that thing which we later re-examined and recognized as neocolonialism was alive and well. And he said, if we did not do so, Africa will never realize our potential. That is the Africa about which you want me to reminisce in order for me to determine what was the vision of the founding fathers. Their vision was a united Africa. Their vision was an Africa that was united in our diversity. Their vision was an Africa that would tell our story. Their vision was an Africa that would exploit our resources for our benefit. Their vision was an Africa that would sit at the dinner table of human civilization, not as food to be consumed or as a waiter, but as a diner to enjoy the goodies of life. That was their vision. But the question is, that vision that saw Africa liberate herself from the clutches of colonialism, was it merely flag independence, as Kenya's Ngugi Wa Thiong'o says, not in so many words in his book, Decolonizing the Mind? Was it a total liberation of the peoples of Africa? In his famous television program, Kenya's Ali Mazrui, the program titled Africa, a Triple Heritage, Ali Mazrui says passionately and eloquently at once that Africa is the only continent on earth that consumes that which it does not produce and produces that which it does not consume. And he says, curiously, we are the only continent on earth that is still referred to in the following derogatory terms: Anglophone Africa, Francophone Africa, Lusophone Africa, and those who are generous even refer to some part of Africa as Arabophone Africa. He says they do not say that of Latin America, they do not say that of Asia. And if you doubt Ali Mazrui, there is now a war that is going on in the Cameroons and is characterized as a war between the Francophones and the Anglophones. But if you go to the so-called Anglophone area, no more than 5% can speak eloquent French. Yet there are many ethnicities in that part of the world. And I'm submitting to us that this is important because it demonstrates that there is something in our mind that we have yet to liberate ourselves, we have yet to decolonize our mind, which Ngugi Wa Thiong'o says is the prerequisite to our total liberation so that we can engage with the world meaningfully. You know, as I speak to you now, there are 54 recognized independent African countries, particularly if you talk to the Moroccans. But when you liberate yourself from Morocco, there are 55 because of Sahrawi. But I'll be of good manners. I'll say there are 54 recognized and 55 with one unrecognized. That Africa is an Africa that ought to be governed by the vision of the founding fathers. That vision was articulated in the Charter of the Organization of African Unity. One can say that the Charter of the Organization of African Unity did form the foundation stone upon which we liberated all countries, and that these countries were liberated up until 1994 or 1990 with the death of apartheid regime. The question is that vision alive? The question is that vision relevant today, particularly when we talk about freedom and good governance? The question is that vision alive for those of us who are spiritually and religiously inclined? The question is that vision alive? Can it be predicated in the Bible? This good governance that we keep on talking about, what is it? Permit me to refer to the Bible on the assumption that you are readers of the Bible and that you are Christians of Berea, who beyond the preaching will go out and find out whether I said the things that are to be found in the Bible. You know, there are two things in the Bible that inform my engagement with you in this afternoon. One of them is actually located in the Bible, and one of them is located in the dramatization of the Bible, and you'll allow me to repeat that dramatization. The first one is the story of Korah in the Bible. This man Korah, you know what he did? He assembled 250 elders of Israel, and they confronted Moses. And they said, you know, you have made laws unto yourself that you may be a prince over us. You have, of course, poisoned the minds of everybody else. And what happened, the Bible records that they were consumed. God consumed them. Because there is no freedom outside of the law. That is the message that I gather there. And then when they grumbled again, 14,700 of them were consumed. Those of you who are readers of the Luo Bible, there is a mistake. In the Luo Bible, they say 14,800. They were actually 14,700 were consumed. Even the Bible can have a mistake. I've drawn it to the attention of the Kenya Bible Society. I think it was a typographical error. But it doesn't take away the point that I want to make. The point that I want to make is that when we talk about freedom, we must remember that freedom must be in the context of good governance. And that good governance must be in the context of the individuals with certain moral values. Mwalimu Julius Kambarage Nyerere articulated it very well in the Arusha Declaration in 1967 when he said that a country must be governed by certain ideals and certain taboos. The things that you don't do and the things that you can legitimately do for the better good. So that even in the Bible, when we talk about the vision of the founding fathers, even without their having been Christians or unanimity as to whether they were picking it from Christianity, there is a sense in which there is a possibility of situating this vision in the Bible. The second element in the Bible that I want to talk about is the dramatization. The time that was allotted to me is about, but remember, I'm also consuming the time that was allotted to Professor Mwench. So I'm in safe territory. And I'm conscious that the law of diminishing returns is operating after lunch. So I'll conclude very shortly. But the dramatization that I want to talk about before I come to the last limb of my presentation is to be found in a movie which I believe all of you ought to have seen. And if you have not seen it, please watch it. How many of you have seen the 1956 dramatization of the film The Ten Commandments as directed by Cecil B. DeMille? You haven't. If you haven't, go and watch it. And there is an interesting portion in that particular story which once again speaks to Korah and Dathan. When Moses has been on the mountain of the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights, there is a grumbling downstairs, and Aaron and the sister have been made to forge unto themselves a calf as a god. And in the dramatization, before Moses comes down on the 40th day, the prophet Joshua moves to the mountain and meets Moses. And when they are in between, there is noise from down in the hill. And when there is noise, Joshua says, there is noise, there is grumbling. And Moses is recorded as saying, those are the sounds of joy and revelry. The people have rebelled against God. He is carrying the 10 tablets of the law. And according to Cecil B. DeMille, as he comes down from the mountain, there are two horns from his head. Kiron comes from his head. Kiron meaning horns in Hebrew. And when he comes down, Dathan confronts him and says, you have made unto yourself laws that you may become a prince over us. We have freedom, And Moses says, there is no freedom outside of the law, and those who will not live by the law shall die by the law. And that is the point that I wanted to make, that all civilizations, our founding fathers, were convinced that we had to have a legal regime. And this is the basis of the constitution that we inherited from independence. But these constitutions were not homemade. And that is why you see that no sooner had we settled with this constitution than they started being disrupted. But the point I want to make before I come to the constitution is an important point about their vision. This is about a meeting that took place in Cairo, in Egypt, about the doctrine of the inviolability of the boundaries of African states. Because at independence, there were those who took the view that Africa should redraw her boundaries. Those of you who are from Cameroon will be aware what happened between Cameroon and Nigeria. You will also be aware of the events that took place in Nigeria when there was an attempt to divide the country into three, leading ultimately to the Biafra War. Those of you who are familiar with the country that was then known as the French Sudan, now known as Mali, will know the attempts that were made at that time. Those of you who are familiar with what was called Tanganyika, which later became Tanzania, will know that fact. Those of you who are familiar with the country that was known as Northern Rhodesia and now Zambia and the one that is now called Zimbabwe will know that. Those of you who are familiar with the history of Southwest Africa, now known as Namibia, will be aware of all these activities. So the first thing that the leader said, whether we are Muslims or Christians or animists, as we are called by other people, we shall live in one geographical territory because the God that we worship is a God of diversity. He's the God that says that there is no Jew nor Gentile. And it must mean, if you are addressing us in Igbo or in some Nigerian language, there is no Yoruba, no Igbo. That, I think, was the vision of the founding fathers of the day. And that is why I think that when we are going to the future, the African leaders recognize one thing, that the OAU charter, as was constituted, was only important up to a certain stage in the life of Africa. And that is why in the year 2013, the statutes that constituted the OAU were revisited and the African Union was created. And when the African Union was created, it was created on the assumption that if we had lost 50 years, we were now going to deal with Africa from a totally different dimension and perspective. But one must ask, what is it that had informed the leaders at that time? There were a series of things that had happened in Africa, in my view, which things informed their decision. You'll remember as early as 1960, when we had barely settled in independence, the first political assassination in Africa was the overthrow of Togo's Silvanus Olympio. And immediately after that, the murder of Patrice Emery Lumumba in 1961. And thereafter, there was a series of coup d'etats, some of them which were being informed by religious factors. So 2013 or 1981 becomes the year, 1990 rather, becomes the year when we begin to see the reemergence of Africa. But that is not what is important. What is important is what happens in 2013. And I'm inviting those of you who are present here to go and look at the letter that was read, the imaginary letter that is written by the then chairman of the OAU Council, the South African lady called Nkosana Dlamini Zuma. It is an imaginary letter that she writes to Kwame Nkrumah, and it is written on the basis of Agenda 2063. And she writes to Kwame Nkrumah in so many words, or rather in effect she says, that I look forward to an Africa where there will be unity amongst all African states. I look forward to an Africa where there will be a railway from Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, to Dakar in Senegal, where there will be communication from Swakin in South in Sudan to Luanda in Angola, from Cape Town to Cairo, and that where the Democratic Republic of Congo shall become the hub of industrial activity, and that East Africa shall become the hub of ICT. West Africa will be industrialized, where gas will be piped from Tanzania to West Africa and oil piped from Nigeria to the rest of Africa, and where there'll be harmony. And if you look at the seven pillars of Africa Agenda 2063, one of them is that the guns will be silenced by the year 2020, so that we'll no more have South Sudan, we'll no more have Central African Republic, we'll no more have the Cameroons, we'll no more have battles and wars that are predicated upon religion, but we'll have an Africa where people enjoy freedom of movement and freedom of conscience within the law, and that we shall have an Africa where people have the liberty to enjoy what it is that they are meant to enjoy. And permit me at this time to use from another civilization what I consider that Africa to be. Many of you, as I conclude, will have read these words which I repeat and refer to oftentimes. They are the words that are to be found in the American Declaration of Independence. And I think that they are important for many civilizations. That all men are born equal. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So that it must have been, when we go back to Pixley Kaisa Kaseme, when we go back to James Emmons Kweji Ragri, when we go back to Chekiante Diop, when we go back to W.E.B. Du Bois, when we go back to Marcus Garvey, when we come to 1963 and we are talking of Kwame Nkrumah, or we are talking of Sekou Toure, or Olympia, or any of the leaders, it must have been their intention that it is for these reasons that governments are instituted amongst men. And I think that is the second part of the American Declaration of Independence. It is for these reasons that governments are instituted amongst men. These are not the words of the American Declaration, these are now my words. Instituted amongst men to midwife the process of their enjoying those rights, so that any government has a divine duty to ensure that they midwife this process. And if that be the case, therefore, ladies and gentlemen, I'm submitting to us that the founding fathers could see what we cannot see standing on tall trees while they were squatting. They could see them with the clarity of vision that we cannot possibly master. What could they see? They could see that in order for Africa to realize their potential, the people in Central African Republic cannot run a war that is based on the fight between Muslims and Christians. That it cannot be right. They could see that the diversity of the people in Central African Republic requires that they enjoy their diversity and they live in harmony, so that people can realize their potential, so that they can indeed enjoy what God has given them on this earth. They could see that the people in Mali and Mauritania cannot conduct their affairs on the basis of religious diversity. They could see that it is important that the diversity of religion is only a celebration of God in his unfathomable ways. They could see that.
They could see
that indeed, even in South Sudan, they cannot conduct their affairs on the basis of religious difference. And I'm submitting to us, therefore, in a nutshell, that our leaders in 1963, when they sat, whether in West Africa, or in North, or in East, or in South, conceived an Africa whose sons and daughters would enjoy liberty. And that they would enjoy liberty so that they would lead a fuller life here on earth. But they would have the freedom of choice to exercise their freedom. And that if governments were instituted amongst them, those governments would be trustees of power for purposes of creating an enabling environment. They could foresee that we are diverse with over 3,000 languages, and that in our diversity we could enjoy our unity. In the words of Kenya's Ali Mazrui, our diversity must not be a tower of Babel, but it could, if we want it be, to be a power of Babel. They could foresee that we must recognize that we have no monopoly of wisdom or monopoly of knowledge, and it is not for us to judge, and there is our duty is only to fulfill our affairs. It is in this regard that I see Africa Agenda 2063 as a useful document that attempts to project into the future and to remind us that in 2063, when some of us may be alive and well, that Africa will be a continent that is respected and is not referred to in derogatory terms, whether when it is convenient we are developing, when it is not convenient we are developed, when it is convenient we are the dark continent, when it is convenient we are a rising continent, that we shall, in the words of Patrice Emery Lumumba of Congo, be in a position to tell our story, however bad that story is. That is the Africa that Kwame Nkrumah must have seen. That is the Africa that Modibo Keita must have seen. That is the Africa that Julius Kambarage Nyerere must have seen. That is the Africa that I want you to see. Even you who are sitting here as Seventh-day Adventists, those of you who are sitting here as followers of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, those of you who are sitting here as Anglicans or Presbyterians, the truth is, we are committed to one thing, Christ of Nazareth, passion in Gethsemane, agony in Golgotha, joy on the third day. God bless you.
leng muteng, with all five regions which we have in this province. We would like to welcome you in this event of today. All of us today were here to receive a message from the Commander-in-Chief of our organization. What I would like to say before I sit down is this, that the members of the CCT who are present here and our officials who are here, members of the War Council who are here, and us, the ground forces of the EFF in this province, we would like to say to you that the work which we demonstrated as the EFF in this province, Bari Reskari no Riberekile, Rere Rezamile, Abere Zamile, Ward 53 in Johannesburg, Rahulisa di Nomoro Jarna, Ta EFF. Ratama, Rabetato, CINC, Kakua West Rande, Ward 29, Rabaveta, Rachia Ward 29. As the leader of this province, I would like to share with you one thing to say. All of us, we need to be disciplined and have the hard work. Each and every one of us must put extra work on what you are doing for this organization. That's how we are going to maintain and deliver the mandate of the EFF at all times. It's not about you and me. It's about the organization which we are being given a chance to serve. I want this leadership, whom I'm sitting with there at the back, is to unite the branches of this organization in this province. A leader must not speak any division. We must work to unite branches and build active branches. This year is the year of branch. This year is the year we must have active branches, the branches which can assist our people. Bonkono mo Cape Town, Valla, mo Ward 17, bari mukwe bari dia door to door, bari mwana ka mezi atena kamo di kamuring kamo. Banyaka branch ya EFF in Albaita Pele, Baba Tuse. In that national chair, you are all welcome to our province to come and give us the mandate, as we are mandated to bring the fighters together. Amanda, awe tu, watinta wafazi. Oza 2024, Oza! Oza 2024, Oza! Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Masbulele, Provincial Chairperson wa Gauteng. Fighters, the generation in 1940s and 1950s had young people amongst them. Now we're going to hear the voice of the young ones, the young lions of the EFF. And what do they have to say to us? Forward to economic freedom in our lifetime, forward. Forward to economic freedom in our lifetime, forward. President Shikwambana, the stage is yours.
Amanza, awe to. Samtanda o chocho, basho sat, sati, hey, we. Samtanda lo chocho, sati, hey, we. O chuchu iyo, iyo, o iyo, iyo, awoy, woy, sasho sat, sati, hey, we. Samtanda lo chocho, sati, hey, we. Samtanda lo chocho, sati, hey, we. Au chuchu iyo, o iyo. Ai hoi hoi, sa sho sat, sati, hey, we. Samtanda shi vambu, sati. Samtanda shi vambu, sati. Shi vambu iyo, oi yo. Ai hoi hoi, sa sho sat, sati, hey, we. Samtandu zamini, sati. Samtandu zamini, sati. Zamini yo,
Ayo, away, away. Sometimes the low poppy, sati. I poppy, ayo, ayayay, sati. Sometimes the umpile, sati. Samtanda umpile, sati, umpile iyo, ay iyo, ay ay ay, sati, ngantanda mafaita, sati, ngantanda mafaita, sati. Mafaita iyo, ay iyo, ay iyo, iyo. Sati, amanza.
Thank you very much, National Chair, the Commander-in-Chief, President Sir Julius Malema, our DP and the officials of the EFF, members of the CCT, members of the provincial leadership here in Gauteng, members of War Council who are present here, leadership of the regions of Gauteng who are present here today, members of the EFF Students Command, and members of the EFF and leaders of the EFF Students Command here in Gauteng. Let me take this opportunity and say I greet you, all of you. Today we are here as young people of the EFF, and also do not forget that as young people of South Africa. But let me tell you that all of us as members of the EFF here, we must thank the EFF, and we must say to the gods of the EFF that we are happy that you gave us this organization. Commander-in-Chief, if it was not because of the EFF, the Freedom Charter, it was going to be a dream, and so it be forgotten, as the ANC have neglected the Freedom Charter and left the Freedom Charter in the dustbin. It's only the EFF that went to that political dustbin to went and collect the Freedom Charter and bring it back to the people. How did the Freedom Charter was brought back to the people? Is the EFF alone that speaks about the land that which is also included in the Freedom Charter. It's only the EFF that speaks about giving jobs to our people, that speaks about giving the economy back to our people. It's only the EFF that speaks about free, quality, well-resourced education. That is also part of the Freedom Charter. Those fell out of the ANC, they've sold us black people. They've sold our mothers. They've sold our sisters. They've sold our brothers. They've sold our grannies. Today we are left with nothing but only the EFF that is still intact, that wants to give the people of South Africa that which belongs to them. The Freedom Charter, I want to call it today the People's Charter, because everything else in our country must revolve within the people. Without the people, there's nothing. Nothing about us without us. Amandla, awe tu, kula EFF kula, tata EFF tata, wola EFF wola, amandla, awe tu. Thank you very much, National Chair.
Masibonge kubantu abatsha, ogogo nomkhulu etendeni, they were this age when they came to gather here at Cliptown. Now fighters were about to get to the keynote address. But before we get there, we need to know who's responsible for guiding this danger tick machine, the EFF. And we're going to have the DSG to come and introduce the leadership. Forward to economic freedom in our lifetime. Forward. forward to economic freedom in our lifetime, forward. Forward to quality education.
And Commander-in-Chief Junior Sello Malema, long live. Long live to our President and Commander-in-Chief Junior Sello Malema, long live. Long live to the undying spirit of Mama Zaniwe Winfred Matikizela Mandela, long live. Long live to the undying spirit of Mama Zaniwe Winfred Matikizela Mandela, long live. Forward to equality and justice, forward. Forward to equality and justice, forward. Down with any oppression or exploitation, down. Down to any form of oppression and exploitation, down. Thank you very much, National Chair. Greetings to our President and Commander-in-Chief, the officials, the collective leadership of the EFF, from the CCT, the PCT, the RCT, as well as our branches, and le bonkgono ba rona ka motsenteng ke re dumelang. Thank you very much. Jwanong ke tlo tsiya sebaka se go le tsibisa to our leadership bao re nang le bona mo mogatlong wa rena go ya according to the structures tsa rena tsa organization. Today mo re na le RCT ya mo Gauteng as well as the PCT. Ne ke gopela gore ba ka emelela ka mopele ba le dumedisa. Ke a leboga. Re buse re be le our central command team, our commissars that are deployed mo the province ya rena ya Gauteng. Commissars, may you please stand up. Thank you very much. Amanda! Amanda! Ay khule, EFF, ay khule! Ay khule, EFF, ay khule! Forward to 1 million membership, forward! Forward to 1 million membership, forward! Zanon kitoli tibisa to our official barina ba mokgatlo wa rena. Re na le our TG, Komisa Umphile Maotwe.
Mandla! Ay khule EFF, ay khule! Forward to 1 million membership, forward! Forward to the year of the branch, forward! Mandla!
Re a leboga TG, re na le our national chairperson, Komisa Veronica Mente.
Siyawufuna umhlaba wethu siyawufuna. Siyawufuna umhlaba wethu siyawufuna.
Siyawufuna.
Sizawulwela umhlaba wethu sizawulwela. Thank you very much.
Kibuse kilitsibise to our Secretary General Pascal Dlamini.
Amanda. 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 Long live the Commander-in-Chief, long live. Long live the Commander-in-Chief, long live. Forward to 1 million members by December, forward. Forward to 1 million members by December, forward. Amanda! Amanda!
Long live EFF, long live. 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 Ke buse ke tie sebaka se ke le tsibise to our Deputy President, Commissar Floyd Nyiko Sibambu.
Amanda! Amanda! Viva EFF, viva! Viva EFF, viva! Forward to economic freedom, forward! Long live the Commander-in-Chief, long live! Mai buye, ya Afrika, Thank you very much, Deputy Secretary General. You can see Lengopo, Kutivisa leadership ya hina. My task is simple. My task is to raise a revolutionary. My task is to introduce to you the Commander-in-Chief who is leading the revolution. Not only here in South Africa, but in the entire African continent and African diaspora. I'm here to introduce to you the Commander-in-Chief and President of the EFF. Comrade President. Amandla. Amandla. Viva EFF, viva! I hule EFF, I hule! Tata EFF, tata! Tata EFF, tata! Happy 80th birthday, Chris Hani, happy birthday! Amandla! Long live the fighting spirit of Chris Hani, long live! Long live the fighting spirit of Peter Mukaba, long live! Long live the fighting spirit of Winnie Mandela, long live. Long live the fighting spirit of Steve Biko, long live. Amanda. Thank you very much, our chairperson, national chair, our deputy president, our secretary general, our treasurer general and the deputy secretary general, the acting chairperson of Gauteng and the secretary and the entire leadership of the PCT and deployees, all commissars who are here from the regional leadership and all our ground forces. Re leboga ba khekolo le ba khalabe ba ba fitleng ka motenteng. Today re tsamaya ka speed ka hore a so se gabotse. It's very cold. So this old woman and man must be released as soon as possible. Or lebona ba ye ba khutse. Re tle mo today, re tlo keteka one of the significant occasions that occurred here in 1955. It was here in Cape Town where thousands of our people gathered in their numbers. Everyone in South Africa was here in 1955. You can talk traditional leaders, you can talk the church leaders, you can talk the youth, the students, the women were all here, including the apartheid regime was inside that conference where the Freedom Charter was adopted, because apartheid government had more than 2,000 policemen inside the conference. Therefore, they were representing apartheid, because when the Freedom Charter was adopted, no single policeman raised his hand and objected to the adoption of the Freedom Charter. Therefore, apartheid too believed that the Freedom Charter was the letter that will usher in the freedom in our lifetime. It was the generation of Nelson Mandela that led to the adoption of this Freedom Charter, because they said, freedom in our lifetime. It took them 40 years before they attained their freedom. And we followed in the footsteps of Nelson Mandela and the 1944 generation, including Robert Sobukwe. And we said economic freedom in our lifetime, because we learned from the best of the best. So fighters, when you are here, you are simply here to follow in the footsteps of those who came before us. They said freedom in our lifetime. They got freedom in their lifetime in 1994. But that was a political freedom. Political freedom without economic freedom is meaningless and it is incomplete. That's why we want economic freedom to complete what those delegates who came here in 1955 said they will achieve in their lifetime. Comrades, we must make sure that our freedom does not discriminate on the basis of color, race, sex, or belief. We must make sure that our freedom is enjoyed by everybody, black and white, without discrimination. Even countrymen and brothers, they must feel this freedom. When we say freedom was ushered in 1994, we don't want the people of Soweto alone to say we have seen freedom. Even the people in the rural areas, in Umtata, in KwaZulu-Natal, and everywhere else in South Africa, they must say we have seen freedom. The countrymen and women, they too must say, indeed, that which was fought for since the adoption of the Freedom Charter has been adopted. We said, when we gathered here in 1955, the people shall govern. When we say the people shall govern, we don't only mean voting every 5 years. We mean in the hospital board, you must be represented. We mean in the school governing board, you must be represented. In all organs of power where decisions are taken which are going to affect the lives of our people, you must be there and make those decisions on behalf and for our people. Not this thing that our organs of power are hijacked by those who have money and have got proximity to those who are in power. We want our own culture and customs to be respected. We want all races to be respected. We don't want anyone discriminated on the basis of race and color, because we must govern this country. We must share in the country's wealth, because arikari we've got freedom and the people are governing, yet others are rich and others are poor. Then the Freedom Charter will not have been achieved. We said all shall enjoy equal human rights. Voting, all of us, black and white, were voting. But do we enjoy equal human rights? Are you equal to a white man? For as long as you are not equal to a white man, the Freedom Charter has not been adopted. We cannot say that the people of Cliptown don't have water and electricity, and the white man next door has got water and electricity and claim to be equal. The charter said equal human rights. You have a right to have water. You have a right to have a job. You have a right to have a house. You have a right to have clean streets. You have a right to have street lights. You have a right to your own bodies. No one must touch you without your will. And therefore, for as long as those rights have not been achieved, the charter's clause on equal human rights has not been achieved. The Freedom Charter said there shall be work and security. All of you here are not working. But we are told we've got freedom. Freedom is jobs. Freedom is work. Freedom is security. If we are not secure and we don't have jobs, then we don't have freedom. We have something that looks like freedom. We've got ample freedom. We don't have real freedom. And therefore, freedom is jobs. We want all of you to work. Whether you have a matric or not, you must have a job. Because for you to clean the streets, you don't require qualification. For you to cut the grass, to clean offices, you don't require the qualification. Let everybody be given a job on the basis of their qualification. If you don't have matric, you will have a job equal to your qualification. With matric, you will have a job that qualifies matric. With a degree, you will have a job that qualifies degree, masters and honors and all manner of things. We want jobs, and we want jobs now, and we want jobs namkanje, and we make no apology about that. Those waiters and waitresses who are working in the restaurant, those things are not jobs. Those things are passing time. Whilst they don't even give you tips when you work in those restaurants, yet they said you are going to be paid according to tips. A job must have a reliable salary. A job must be a secured job. You must know that when I wake up tomorrow, I will still have this job. Not this job that you are not guaranteed that it will still be there tomorrow when I wake up. We want a job that has got pension fund. We want a job that has got medical aid. We want a job that doesn't pay less than 12,500 for our people, because the minimum wage that was put by government of South Africa is not enough. We want our people to be paid properly. All those who went to school, we said in the Freedom Charter, the doors of learning and culture shall be opened, but the doors remain closed. When you want a space, they want registration fee from you. If you don't have a registration fee, you can't get a space. And after paying registration fee, you must now bring your father and your mother through their IDs and their affidavit to prove that they are not working. Otherwise, you will not have an SFAS. Now, when your father is dead, you must bring a death certificate. What are you doing to dead people when we said they must rest in peace? We still go to their graves and tell them, Papa, they are looking for your death certificate before they can give me a bursary. We are led by fools. Because how bafa ID number ya papa au ya mama au, the computer must automatically say that your mother is a domestic worker or is a beneficiary of SASSA and your father has passed away. These fools have issued a certificate that your father died. It is them who gave you the certificate. Then they come back and say, where is your father? Stupid. They are the ones who must account for every citizen of South Africa. They must know, where is Julius Malema as we speak now? If they don't know where we are now, then they are irresponsible parents. Because parents must know where their children are. We are all children of this government. But when we die and our children are asking for NSFAS, they are asked a question, where is your father? Oh, your mother is a domestic worker. Go and do affidavit. When you go to do the affidavit, you'll find that person you went to school being responsible for the affidavit there at the police station. You must now display poverty in front of that dumb cop you used to be better than at school. You must say, yeah, hey, sign here, I'm poor. You must display your dignity in front of people. Everywhere you go, they ask you to display your poverty. We are not proud to be poor, and therefore do not ask us to display that which we are not proud of. Now, the doors of learning are open. And those who are refusing our children to get into these open doors, the student command must kick those doors and drop them and collapse them, because we don't need a door for a learning. We need your matric certificate. You must just carry your certificate like this, enter Vets University or UJ and ask the question, where is my seat? But what do you mean? Well, I've earned my seat through this qualification. This qualification has earned me to be here. I don't need any human being's approval. I have passed. I qualify to be here. So, fighters, those who are at the university, we must fight for equal, decolonized, and free education for all. Whether you are rich or poor, we need a decolonized education taught to the children of rich people also, so that the rich children can be patriotic, can also love South Africa. They can know that their money means nothing as long as there is no country called South Africa. But if we say the rich must pay and the poor must not pay, the rich will leave and go and pay outside. We must say to the rich, come here. When they come into our university, we teach them our culture. We teach them our proper history. We teach them the Freedom Charter. We make them have a questioning mind, so that when they go back home, they ask their parents, you've got so much money, what are you doing for the poor? Because I can see that you can afford, but you are not helping the poor. Education must be compulsory. When the EFF says education will be compulsory, they say these people are mad. It means those who came here in 1955, they were mad too, because we learned it from them. They said education must be compulsory. Compulsory means you must be forced to go to school. Uvetamato reata. Retok reo jiga jiga motlip town. Kana kwa skolo. Rao nameja vene ama podisa. Rao isha skolo by force. Whether you are rat or rat, under the EFF you are going to go to school by force. And Eriku Wuche, how graduate, Autor Kwatela Ruisha Skolo, especially ka Winters Utonya, so Rufus or Hak go to school. But how graduate, Otabori, I want to thank my government for forcing me to go to school. Autor Lebowa, because the EFF is not threatened by educated people. EFF loves them educated. ANC loves them illiterate. That's why it's not giving you free education, but it's giving you 350, because it wants to keep you ignorant. It doesn't love them educated. Arinyake 350. Rinyaka free education, so that we can get better jobs, and jobs that are paying so well, so that we can work for ourselves and build proper houses, because we don't want RDP houses. Ape RDP, ke by the way, narinyaka ubereka, reke agele matu, aria ratang, aneria droya resale babanyane. I want a house like that. All of us seated here, we've got a house of our dreams, and that house, we're going to achieve it, whether they like it or not. Black people under the EFF, they will achieve their dreams. And black people will achieve the dreams of the Freedom Charter. It is the Freedom Charter that said there shall be houses, security, and comfort. We used to sing during struggle. We used to march during struggle. SG, there was a song we sang when we were young. Ya Freedom Charter, forward we are marching. There shall be houses, security, and comfort, because freedom is coming tomorrow. We knew that there is no freedom without a shelter. We knew that there is no freedom without a roof over your head. There is no freedom without comfort. There is no freedom without security. All of you here, when you come here, you must know that you are secured. Even when you go home, you must know on the way and even at home, you are secured. There is security that is guaranteed by the people's government. But today, we can't say there is security. Women who are here today, we are not sure what's going to happen to them if we finish late and they arrive at home at night. We know that South Africa has declared war against women. These women have not seen any freedom, because there will never be freedom without security. But also, there must be a place for rest and leisure. What about Otamaya? We go valley. Olebe lemezi, ube teki moya. Apentuela, ya unuwe teki moya. Asimayemo, kurleksi shangondo. Karjobe kape bizion. Auna uga ujiga kamo ke truck. Aujiga kamo ke taxi. Aujiga kamo, hey, ubizi. Now the Freedom Charter says, there must be leisure. Le relaxe. How are we going to relax? Hard the beers. Rofita kainge. Repalla ki a simple money. Yau ya kliniki. Because the clinic is very far from where we stay. We need to achieve what the Freedom Charter says we must achieve. Comrades, we must make sure that there are no fenced locations, and there must not be Soweto, there must not be Alexander, there must not, we must have the people of Johannesburg. Because these divisions of ghetto fencing was created by the poor, who said when you are from Soweto, you can't leave Soweto at 6 o'clock and go into Johannesburg. You must go into town at any time you want. You must go into Alexander at any time you want. You must come to Soweto at any time you want without feeling anything. Why? It's a freedom of movement. Because we are one as South Africans. Comrades, this freedom, those who came here, they said they were going to fight for it. And they will make sure that they achieve it in their lifetime. So, after 1994, when they achieved the Freedom Charter, the political freedom as envisaged by the Freedom Charter, they forgot other clauses of the Freedom Charter. Because ba yabona, awona Freedom Charter yeile yari, they shall be politicians in Mercedes-Benz and blue light is nowhere in the charter. We never fought to vote. We fought for the land to be returned into the hands of our people. We fought for the wealth to be shared amongst those who work it. Our interpretation of the Freedom Charter is a radical interpretation. When the Freedom Charter says the wealth of the country shall be returned into the hands of the rightful owners. In the mind of the EFF, it means nationalization of the banks, the mines, and all strategic sectors of society, including monopoly industries. It is Mandela, before he stayed in the Minel's house, when he came out of Robben Island, he said nationalization is the policy of the ANC. And after he said that, he went to stay in the house of the Minel family. I thought it was a complex. The deputy president was reminding me that it's not a complex. Mandela actually stayed in the house with the Minnell family. They used to pass each other in the morning wearing gowns and having breakfast together. The Minnell family is like the Oppenheimer family. It's like the Rupert family. They adopted Mandela. After they adopted Mandela, Mandela said, nationalization will collapse the economy of South Africa. But the Minnell family, before they adopted Mandela, they adopted Cyril Ramaphosa here in Soweto. Cyril Ramaphosa was identified during that program. Identify young, talented people. The British came and identified Cyril Ramaphosa when he was young and then handed him over to the Minnell family. Mandela did not know Cyril. When Mandela came out of prison, the main man at the door of prison was Cyril Ramaphosa, who said to Mandela, I'm the reception committee. I'm here to receive you, only to realize later that this guy captured Nelson Mandela at the door of prison in the name of the reception committee of Nelson Mandela. Asamali Mandela, Afa Mandela Makua, how can Cyril Ramaphosa be elected the first Secretary General after the unbanning of the ANC when he just joined the ANC the same year or a year before? Cyril Ramaphosa was a police reservist during the 80s and the 70s. And the 70s and the 80s were the most difficult times in the life of a black man. And Ramaphosa was receiving award from Paul Olesovan, a British spy. How do you get such a person, 1991, becoming the Secretary General of the ANC? That's where the ANC was captured. Not this captured of Zondo Commission with a big trousers. He doesn't even know how to dress properly. Artibele size is on. Now, the real capture happened way before Zuma. Zuma, Bamu captured Lelien. He was in the negotiations. He was working with them. Thabo Mbeki, Bamu captured Lelien. He was there in the negotiations. The only man was not captured. The only man who was not captured was Chris Hani. That's why they killed him. Until today, the only man that was not captured was Chris Hani. The whole chief of staff of Mkhonto we Sizwe, head of the banning of Mkhonto we Sizwe, when he was in the village in the Eastern Cape, when Mandela said we are suspending the armed struggle. How can you suspend the armed struggle without talking to the chief of staff of the same armed struggle you are talking about? He heard about it on radio. And then he came back to Johannesburg. And Nelson said to him, it's done. If you are a member of the ANC and you are disciplined, you will know that you must follow the orders. The only woman they never captured was Winnie Mandela, who worked very close with Peter Mokaba. They worked together with Chris. They worked together with Bantu Olomisa. This Bantu Olomisa, you see, he used to be very radical when he was young. He's getting old now. And I would only know, Monoro Tomo understand that. Uluza, that team sent us swearing Le Winnie, Le Chrissy, Le Tony Engeni. Those are some of the people who were called the radicals. All of them. Tony Engeni, they said he stole money from a city's bank. A matter that belonged to parliament was taken to prison. Winnie Mandela, they said all manner of things and destroyed him. Chris Hani, they killed him. Peter Mukaba, they said he was a spy. Till today, they never released his spy number. Everybody who challenged them, they destroyed him. That's what they did with us. When we were in the Youth League and said, let's follow what the Freedom Charter says. Let's not follow what Thabo Mbeki says. Let's not follow what Zuma says. Let's not follow what Ramaphosa says. Let's follow what the people died for. And that which the people died for is in the Freedom Charter. They said, you sound, we were expecting. Why were of the white men from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and even in the 2000s till to date, Ramaphosa is still continuing with the agenda of a white man against a black man. Ramaphosa is an infiltration in the liberation movement. Ramaphosa. Be removed. How kithati? How na mabone? How nantu? Monangmo? What about today? You are not going to sleep. Marotone to Ramaphosa, Ramaphosa. Utaba shakisrame. Hey, Ramaphosa, Ramaphosa, I'll save it. You've got the qualifications for so many years. Of South Africa, the tender dudes of South Africa. The deal at Eskom. There's no single businessman who had a deal at Denel, who had a deal at SAA, who still has got a deal today. All of those people were removed. The so-called BEE was single-handedly destroyed by Ramaphosa in the interest of white capital. Why are we scared of these people who are destroying every single black person who's trying to raise his head? They destroy. Rugachabam pimpi outswana le Ramaphosa. How nantwa kardia yona Ramaphosa. Hanyaka urtswara arutsware. Hanyaka rumela sarsai rumele. He must ask his friend Zuma. That strategy did not work before. Today, there is no government that is going to intimidate us. We want our government back and we want it in the hands of black people. We want the people's government. We don't want the Minel government. We don't want Oppenheimer government. We don't want Rupert's government. We want a government as envisaged in Cape Town in 1955. Without that, then there is no proper government. Comrade, Freedom Charter, ki EFF. How bona EFF, otiborba, ki bonaba swearing Freedom Charter. They are the ones who are carrying the hopes of 1955. Eba South Africa eri tswere I yari ke rena. Ha motho le khoa le montsha nontsontso go mereko orgo vija EFF. Hameti asati moso wetu bar EFF iko kai. Ha esko me trupa bat baso wetu bar EFF kai. Le mapolisi a rata hore thunya ka di rubber bullet. Ha ba sa thole increase le di bonus. But where is the EFF? Bana ba sekolo e ba matcha ba batla EFF student command, because the EFF student command is the only student organization that never sided with the management, has always been on the side of the poor students and black students in particular. Sorry, kancha kabatuba EFF student command habata maiba ijacho. How lili EFF we jacho utibori tlo bulaya karchocho mo EFF ki poison. How ka ijauta chuluwa for the rest of your life? So how sabatu sebeta ki mala for the rest of your life? Uskar haba sebeti barita kofektrin yarina warkuwe na labor desk ya EFF. How fita kuwa wachia bribe wabulaya basebeti. EFF, whether win or lose, be on the side of the workers. EFF, whether win or lose, be on the side of the community. Whether bashaparaba bullet or abashapiraba bullet, real trauma mkuku mo trip town mo. The reason why trauma mkuku is because EFF yata, it's ori fa matu, it's ori fa di kliniki, it's ori fa di kolo. Banabar nabakas travel kilometers and kilometers from Clip Town by over to high school somewhere in Orlando. There must be school here. Because Yarina is not houses, it's human settlement. Before Litena, under EFF, retabere service, jedi stene kameti, mutakasi, ditila, build houses, then bring your people inside. Riskan kabat barnara oba latako safe mo, ukariaba damba in the bush. The reason we are occupying now, even where there are no services, is because we are not government. Mararibata lefasi. And we make no apology. Haribata lefasi. Resarli busy, renka lefasi for settlement. Very soon, we are coming for agricultural land. Very soon, we are coming for the mining land. Very soon, we are coming for fishing, because even fishing belongs to us. Haribata lefasi. Relevata le mawatle a le kamoka le watle le la ke la rona her batla le fast relevata le dithaba ka ofela ke tsa rona le dipatse tsa felo ke tsa rona dipatse re batla le fast le matekwana lona har le fast a le tle matekwana tsa mai ha a re tla le matekwana re tlo legalize ra rekisa ra etsa chelete out of those things. So comrades, how can dagga be illegal and then alcohol be legal? Wa botsiba jwa la mon but how better how fit gate we fit so wa pele wa pukro wa pele o banana or opela gana o tsiburutse na kae yo betile savana ka e bia motlong wa na iwes. How can alcohol be legal and daga be illegal? Let me give you another example. Every year they say to us, so many accidents happened during Easter and so many accidents were caused by drinking and driving. They never said so many accidents were caused by smoking, dagga, and driving. There is no such accusation.
But something that science has proven, that this thing, after people take it, people die, is legal. Something that they never said, after smoking, people go and get into accident, is illegal. Arthodi wabana. What's more, they can't grow it in their countries. And because they can't grow it in their countries, they can't sell it to us. And we, because of our weather and our environment, we can grow the best of the best jaka and package it nicely here in South Africa and go and sell it in America and sell it everywhere in the world. So, comrades, harre batla lefatshe, o tsanana re bolela ka mekhukhu. Awa mekhukhu ke ya o no baisa gore re be le activity re be re lwa le mapodisa in the meantime. Ke game ya ona. Mara na re lwe le mekhukhu. Na re lwela ntho tse pila for black people. Under the EFF, there will never be a shack. Ha re ka ba ra e kry-a mekhukhu e re a e demolisha. If the yard is too small, nkampe re age meago ye ko dimo, ba ba nyane ba nne ko dimo, ba ba ulu ba nne ko tlase, and make sure our people are proper. Comrade, I'm asking you, ba le travelang, who can travel, go to Lesotho. Bomme ba ba le sebeletsang ba le re ba tswang Lesotho, le ba tshupa, le ba bitsa ka maina. Ko Lesotho ha ona mokhukhu le wa i-one. Wa e bona ntho e bona mo Clip Town. You can travel the whole Lesotho, you will never find a shack. Ha batho ba ko Lesotho ba ka etsa ntho eo ya gore bona ba seka ba le mokhukhu, go ra gore le rena re ka etsa mo South Africa, because we have more resources than the people of Lesotho. So, ours is a dream of a beautiful South Africa where black men shall enjoy the equal rights and opportunities with the white man. We don't want to drive a white man to the sea. If the white man wants to go to the sea, must go on his own the same way he came here. Askar Bora, Arbu Julia Zabanyake Makua. If they are fine, the same way I can do it. I can't do it. So, let's make sure that before we take government, we build a strong organization. Because there is no... You know what's weakening the ANC now and government? It's because there is no ANC. There cannot be a state without a party. We must have the EFF as a strong, formidable force. We must have the EFF in each and every family. Why? The seven non-negotiable cardinal pillars of the EFF is a radical interpretation of the Freedom Charter. That's what the Charter requires of us. We are the rightful replacement of the ANC. When they ask you, hey, Litloetsang, or Litlo replace the ANC, we are here to replace the ANC. Babulaya and Abarba conferencing today, they are killing each other. We are here to remind our people about the struggles that came before 1994. EFF, it's a weapon that you must have in your hand when you confront the white monopoly capital. There's no one who's going to liberate South Africa better than the EFF. Kaufela ba rekisitse, kaufela bona ba jile, ha ona wa sa yang. Bajale Maburu, EFF Kionaili one, that is not sleeping with a white man. That's why EFF will never be bribed. We don't hate the white man. We don't just accept bribes
from white monopoly capital. We are refusing. So fighters, they are black people. By Lungore, Deputy President, we need to identify them. We need to recruit them into the EFF as we recruit 1 million members. We must start recruiting quality people into the EFF. We must make sure the educated, the talented, the disciplined, the committed are the ones who lead the EFF, not the opportunists. Mo EFF are really the position anymore. Ha motho a lwela position mo EFF o no ya go tsebeng ya mo sebele gore o ka re utimetse are orang ore a e ke nana o nyaka ba le ba di keeper je di yelo ntho o ietsang ye e tla go di keeping je di yelo not mo red sea mo re tlo lwanela ditulo mo re tlo lwanela matlu for batho ba go Cape Town for batho ba go Deep Slot. We want dignity for the people of Orange Farm. We are here for those types of people. We are not here for ourselves. So Ritloya conference in your EFF this year, your province. I repeat mo, we want maximum discipline. Harinya gibatu, bato lwelandi position, bafeje ba disrupt the conference arena. Yo. Oba butiche baba zamile before. Uta isheba TV EFF. Mo EFF, your stay in the EFF is very simple. Don't fear Malema. Don't fear anyone. Just follow the constitution and the code of conduct of the EFF. It's as simple as that. Once you follow the constitution of the EFF, no one will ever falter you. By the about rat or about rat, or constitution, ya EFF, e rita maye so. Agitota ma ka fiction in that. Agitota ma ka Facebook, there is no branch of the EFF on the Facebook. Agitota ma ka Twitter, kitama ka mugufe wa Twitter. I shall listen to what my organization wants. I shall follow the code of conduct of my organization. I might not be a councillor now because I did not win, but I'll continue to wear the red beret because I did not come here for councillorship. And lenale bo rekile mo councillor ba botse or lenale bo rekile nga le last is either le ashwa or bale tshwara ga di bribe. So fighters, don't be impatient. Ntwere aganye, we're building it ground up. We are still at the foundation. We are digging a deep foundation, a solid foundation, because this thing that we're going to build here is too big. This foundation must carry this thing for so many years to come. So fighters, leadership of Gauteng, we need PGAs to take place. We want you to elect the delegates in a disciplined manner, and those delegates must come and give us solid men and women who are going to lead us into 2024. When we take over Gauteng and this province belongs to the EFF. So hurry to mo rebata di branchi di kene kaufela, mamrineilwe, mukit wadi katsu fedile. Everyone must take their branch to PGA, otherwise reakena rin. Rtoviela aside, we'll take the branch on our own because no one is going to do the gatekeeping and sabotaging the organization from getting the branches and being ready for the Provincial People's Assembly this year. Johannesburg, Spetlele ka rona le borrok. Re batla di branch di kene PGA. Kaofela inikuruleni, Tshwane, all of you, We need 90%, Western. We need 90% of our branches to go to PGAs, elect delegates, and make sure that we have an orderly conference. Fighters, if you can miss an opportunity here, you will never get it again. The ANC is at its weakest, especially in Gauteng. It will never be this weak again. They are at 50.1. There is no miracle that is going to happen between now and 2024, which will make the ANC to gain more votes. Even if Mandela can wake up, he will not get them anything above 50%. If you miss this opportunity, you will have yourself to blame. Comrades, this is a generational opportunity. Let's make sure that we grab it with both hands. We want 1 million members, and those quarter of that 1 million member must come from Gauteng. How many SG? We want as many 250,000 members of 1 million members must come from Gauteng. So you can't say, hey, today I'm bored as a fighter. A fighter will never be bored. When you feel bored, take the forms. Let's go and go to the public to recruit members to join the EFF, because by end of December, we want 1 million members here in South Africa. Comrades, there was no Zondo Commission here. The said capture that we supported is not what Zondo has produced. More like Gossipi, Kimlevo Fela, Motujile 2 billion, Arabona Loro producing. Twice Iban Zondo, ki TV. How kabar Zondo Arovetuar camera emocating, oral pie. Orata TV, Ukargi presenter, Yela Yansimunye, we are one. Asanga Gabona judge, Yaurata TV like Chief Justice Zondo. I think these lawyers of ours must look at in the law if there is no some piece of legislation that we can apply to interdict this guy from addressing press conferences and stay in his chambers and preside over high serious cases in the Constitutional Court. Instead of doing that, Zondo likes calling each other with politicians. He did that with Zuma. He's now doing it with Ramaphosa. They were not investigating who captured the state. They were investigating which black person took business of white people. Because in their mind,